This is Conquering Columbus.
Hey, everybody. This is Mike here, and you're listening to the Conquering Columbus podcast. On today's show, Josh and I got the chance to talk with Dr. Elena Christofides, Managing Director of Medizen. During this episode, we discuss Dr. Christofides' background, how Medizen is trying to change the way we think about health here in America, and a whole lot more. And early on in the show, we spoke about Dr. Christofides' early career and how she got into endocrinology. Here's what she said.
Endocrinology kind of chose me because it's sort of the engineering of the body. It's the engineering of metabolism. And it's very, very, very much a puzzle. The way I describe it for patients is think of a spider web. You know, when you start to pluck an orb weaver spider web, you get twitching of one bundle of fibers compared to another. Like you're twitching in one area and you have reverberations in the other area. And that's very much endocrinology. You know, you can't look at one area of the body and not expect to see changes in other areas or impact. So whether you want to view it as a jigsaw puzzle, you want to view it as a spider's web, that to me is very much what endocrine speaks of. And everything is very much a puzzle in my head. And I love puzzles. I love a good puzzle.
Later, she spoke about how European medical care differs from U.S. care and how cultural changes in the U.S. opened up the opportunity to create Medizen.
We felt like the U.S., Columbus specifically, was ready for that model. Ready for us to take what we knew from our training and from our life experiences and from our cultures and bring them to the US model, because I felt and Maggie felt that we were ready. Because in my medical space, endocrinology associates, I was getting more and more people coming to me wanting preventative care, wanting to be educated about their awareness of their risks and how to mitigate those risks. So it felt right at that time. And she was basically relaying the same thing to me with her obesity clinic as I was seeing in my endocrine clinic. And it felt like the right marriage of opportunity at that point.
We wrapped up the show with some advice from Dr. Christofides for people with big ideas they want to act on.
The best ideas are the ones that are felt from the heart, that are felt from the gut, that you are committed to and that you have the ability to execute on. That's my first recommendation. And the second recommendation, piece of advice, is make sure that you surround yourself with people who can help you execute that goal. And it's really hard to ask for that help. It's really hard to ask for that piece of advice. But so my third piece of advice is never be afraid to talk about what your passions are. I have met more amazing people and more supportive people and made more connections than I could have ever imagined just by sharing my passions when I'm at meetings or at a conference or just a casual conversation. Because you just never know who you is listening and who might also have that passion project or who might know someone who is interested in that passion project.
Don't forget to hit that subscribe button if you're enjoying these interviews. It helps to support the show and make sure you never miss an episode of Conquering Columbus. That's it for me for this intro. Let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Conquering Columbus podcast. This is your co-host, Mike, here. We got Josh in the booth. What's going on today, Josh?
Not too much. Just excited for an interview.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Did you know something? I actually haven't told you this, so I'm going to get to surprise you. Shannon and I got rear-ended this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not fun. Really a good surprise. You set it up like it was going to be something positive.
It was not positive. But the worst part about it is if anybody out there has gotten into a car accident before, nobody was hurt. Everything was fine. The guy was going like 15 miles an hour. So car's a little damaged, but nothing happened. But that being said, there's a lot of people that call you hoping that somebody got hurt after the accident. There is just a ton of people. Are you sure your neck doesn't hurt? Do you want to go to the chiropractor? Here's a chiropractor. You should check them out. And man, it's miserable. Don't do it. So
was it in the nice car or no?
Yeah.
Oh man,
dude. I'm really upset about it. But
hopefully
your
golf clubs didn't get hurt.
They were not in the car, luckily. Otherwise, it would have been devastating.
Did you check those before you checked the baby?
They weren't. That's messed up. No, I did not.
I bet you did, though.
They weren't in the car. The golf clubs weren't even in the car.
You probably called home. Was somebody just check on the golf clubs?
Yeah,
we just got hit.
Okay, well, now we're going to go straight to the interview. So awkward intro out. And today on the show, we've got a special guest joining us. So our guest today is Dr. Elena Christofides. And Dr. Christofides opened Endocrinology Associates in 2000, a medical clinic specializing in diabetes, thyroid disorders, hormone therapy, weight management, and clinical research. And she also offers transgender and transitional care services for the LGBTQA community. And she currently serves as the managing partner of the Medizen Institute, Columbus's premier medical institute for people in pursuit of medical mindfulness with a commitment to looking, feeling, and being a better version of themselves. So we'll talk more about all of that, as well as learn more about Dr. Christofides' journey on today's show. welcome to Conquering Columbus, Elena.
Hi, thank you. Welcome to you guys.
Really appreciate you coming in to chat with us this evening. One of the first places we always like to start, just get a little bit of background on yourself, kind of your story, how you got to where you are today, and as far back as have you always lived in Columbus?
Yeah, no, thanks, guys. Really appreciate being here. This is super fun. I love listening to podcasts, so actually being on one is kind of novel. It's only my second appearance ever, so super honored to do that. I've been in Columbus since the mid-80s, moved here in high school. I went to Worthington High School when there was only one. Everyone always asks, they're like, which one? I'm like, there was only one when I went. I went to Ohio State, undergrad, med school, went to New Orleans for my training. Great place to learn about diabetes. Great place to learn about, you know, thyroid disease. Seemed like everybody had diabetes and thyroid, and then came back because my family was in the area. We had a lot of friends in the area. So I've been here for a while, stuck here. My son is graduating. My husband and I are kind of entrenched here. And I'm really, really into some of the projects that we're doing, like with Medizen and with Endosos. So we're here. Mm-hmm. I like being here.
Mm-hmm. So you went to New Orleans. Did you go there specifically for that particular
fellowship training?
Fellowship. Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I did. I picked it specifically because I was really interested in the diabetes program there and some of the nutrition and metabolic management that they were doing in New Orleans. We had a really interesting program where we focused on nutrition. We focused on metabolism. We had a whole nutrition clinic, which I've never seen in any other program. And our research, we were really encouraged to do sort of basic nutritional and metabolic research. So that was, and I'd done that all through my career, undergraduate, medical school, it was all nutritional, vitamins, supplements, hormone interactions, brain neurotransmitters. It took me on an interesting journey, but that was basically my focus. And that was a super, super interesting period of time where you basically have free rein to do whatever you want from a research perspective. And obviously New Orleans has a special place in my heart now because my son was born there. Mm-hmm. So a little jazz baby, he loved jazz and he's a jazz musician. I was anyway, when he was still in school. Now he's an adult and has given that up for the moneyed jobs.
That'll happen. So I'm curious, you know, it sounds like you were specifically interested in that. Was there something in particular that drove you towards endocrinology, or was it just, hey, I'm really interested in this, I want to keep pursuing it?
Yeah, it's a kind of a combination. So I'm actually from the island of Cyprus. So I wasn't born here. I moved here when I was younger, obviously no accent. So I lost that.
And where is Cyprus located?
So it's in the Eastern Mediterranean.
Near Greece.
It's so east of Greece, but it's in the very eastern pocket. So south of Turkey, west of Israel, Syria, Lebanon area, north of Egypt.
Okay. Pretty small, I'm guessing.
It's pretty small. Yeah, we have about 750,000 people in total population for the entire island.
Columbus.
Yeah. Yeah. Smaller than Columbus, actually. So the diaspora is bigger than the actual population of the island is anymore. And we left when a war broke out. Turkey invaded Cyprus. So we're the last divided capital in the world after the Berlin Wall fell. And we're still divided. So we left when war broke out and ended up getting stuck and staying and then built a life here. And that's what America does well, is help you build a life when you have to leave someplace else. So, you know, the Mediterranean is obviously famous for the Mediterranean diet, famous for our longevity, famous for our long-lived population, healthy population. I mean, most of my family lives to almost 100. Mm-hmm. So, and that there's known as blue zones, right? And the blue zones are known for their healthy living and longevity. Some of it's diet, some of it's genetics, obviously, but that's certainly a point of interest. And we've lived that lifestyle from day one. I mean, as immigrants, you don't typically take on the lifestyle of your new country for a while. And so we definitely ate the way we normally ate, like we did back home. But the interesting thing is, endocrinology kind of chose me because it's sort of the engineering of the body. It's the engineering of metabolism. And it's very, very, very much a puzzle. The way I describe it for patients is, think of a spider web. You know, when you start to pluck an orb weaver spider web, you get twitching of one set of bundle of fibers compared to another. Like you're twitching in one area and you have reverberations in the other area. And that's very much endocrinology. You know, you can't look at one area of the body and not expect to see changes in other areas or impact. So whether you want to view it as a jigsaw puzzle, you want to view it as a spider's web, that to me is very much what endocrine speaks of. And everything is very much a puzzle in my head. And I love puzzles. I love a good puzzle. And that really was the only thing that called to me. Everything else in medicine seemed really monochromatic, for lack of a better word. It just never really grabbed me and it never really kept my attention. And maybe it's just being a little ADD. I don't know. It never captured my attention. And so being able to merge sort of this aspect of my life that came from and then looking at where we are going to metabolically in the US and what we do here lifestyle wise was really interesting perspective to have. And that really, that's how I ended up there.
Yeah. And this type of topic actually does hit a little close to home for me because so my mom's dad had Hashimoto's. My mom had thyroid cancer. And there's just all kinds of folks on that side of the family who have thyroid problems. So I'm like, yeah, I'm paying attention now, right? Like thyroid stuff, that's, I need to keep an eye on that. But endocrinology does get really, really complicated, right? And it's funny how like, even with my mom, right? Like little tweaks in her what do they call it?
Oh, her levothyroxine.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. That can completely change the way she feels and drastically, right? So when you're messing with any type of endocrines, is that the right word?
We just use hormones.
Hormones.
Yeah.
Hormones.
Yeah.
That seems more obvious. Hormones. It gets complicated quickly. So I'm curious, we talked about kind of your background, endocrinology associates, right? That was separate from MetaZen prior. So when did you start endocrinology associates and what pushed you to start your own business rather than say joining another firm?
Yeah. So when I graduated fellowship in 2000, I came back to Columbus because at the time my sister was in college at IU. My in-laws are in West Virginia. We have obviously a lot of friends still here. So we came back to Columbus and I've always been very entrepreneurially driven, same with my family. And so the difficulty with endocrine is it's such a unique focus sometimes, and you end up with areas of interest that aren't always overlapping with your colleagues or maybe other people in the department that you might be in. So it felt more natural to be on my own. And back in 2000, you know, we didn't have HMOs, we didn't have PBMs, we didn't have all these letter agencies that we have in medicine. And it was really easy to be solo and private practice back then. So it just kind of started that way. And actually all endocrinologists in Columbus at the time, other than those who were employed by the university, were solo and private. So it was not unusual back then to do that. And I really felt like I wanted a little bit more autonomy to be able to explore some of these other areas that interested me. So I started Endocrinology Associates and I was faculty at Mount Carmel and Riverside, which was Ohio Health, not yet Ohio Health at the time. And then over time, had a lot of students and trainees. And so I've always been independent in that regard. And then over the years, I met my business partner, Dr. Maggie Gassirova, and she was actually rotated through me. She was one of my students. And we met and became fast friends because she's also European. She's from the Czech Republic. And she and I became fast friends and had always had that connection. And the story of how MetaZen was born is actually really funny. It wasn't intended to be a pandemic project. It ended up being a pandemic project. She has also board certified in obesity medicine, and she was seeing mutual patients and seeing mutual clients, and she was doing a great job. And I was really proud of her. And I sent her a message one day, I think it was an email, and I sent her a message. I said, hey, I just wanted to let you know I saw so-and-so, and you know, we're both seeing this patient and she's doing really well. And I just want to let you know, I'm really happy to see what you're doing. I'm really proud of you. You know, when you have a student and a new mentee, you want to make sure that you continue that relationship in a positive way. And I had reached out to her and she said, hey, I have this really interesting idea I want to talk to you about. Let's have coffee. And this was in 2019. And we had coffee and the rest is, you know, that MetaZen was born from that. We brainstormed this idea over, I think, a 3-hour coffee session. And that's how we started. And then, of course, the pandemic hit and it sort of slowed things down and changed how we did things. Mm-hmm. But the point was basically to take everything that she and I both knew and then put it into action.
Yeah.
So that the 3-hour meeting, what problem did you feel like you guys were solving and how were you going to go about it at that point in time?
Yeah, so being European, both of us, the European medical model is very much one of prevention. It's very much one of maintenance of health and vitality and not disease focused. So as you were saying, Mike, you know, in the US model, you introduce your family history by the diseases it has, not by the health.
Yep.
And not by the wealth of the genetic, you know, predispositions that might be positive for you, which is an interesting, very American perspective. Whereas the European perspective is, you know, my family is long lived. You know, we have this great lifestyle. We have these great food habits. We have these great eating habits. You have these great exercise habits. And that's very much a European mindset. And we felt like because we were trained in Western medicine and we were trained with this American model, we had a unique perspective to bridge what we knew from a health perspective and a longevity perspective into what we felt like Americans were ready for. The American medical system is not perfect. We know that. It's certainly amazing. And it's one of the best healthcare systems when you are sick, but it doesn't do a great job for prevention and education. mm-hmm. when you want to be well. And you don't have to be sick to want to be well. You can be okay. Like, you guys are younger than me. You're probably pretty healthy, but you probably have some interest in making sure that this stays fine and that stays fine and avoidance of disease. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, we felt like the US, Columbus specifically, was ready for that model, ready for us to take what we knew from our training and from our life experiences and from our cultures and bring them to the US model, because I felt, and Maggie felt, that we were ready. Mm-hmm. Because in my medical space, endocrinology associates, I was getting more and more people coming to me wanting preventative care,
yep.
wanting to be educated about the awareness of their risks and how to mitigate those risks. So it felt right at that time. And mm-hmm. she was basically relaying the same thing to me with her obesity clinic as I was seeing in my endocrine clinic. And it felt like the right marriage of opportunity at that point.
Hey, everybody. Mike here. We're going to take a quick break to talk about one of our sponsors, One Columbus. And we are very excited to partner with One Columbus. They really, really share the same vision as us here at the Conquering Columbus podcast, which is really building up the Columbus region to be one of the most prosperous regions in the United States. And One Columbus serves as the business location resource for companies across Central Ohio and around the world as those companies grow, innovate, and compete within the global economy. And they help us lead a regional growth strategy that develops and attracts the world's most competitive companies, grows a highly adaptive workforce, and prepares our communities for the future, inspiring innovation across the board. Their mission really is just ensuring the Columbus region is a vibrant place to build businesses and careers. So again, we really appreciate all of their support. You want to learn more about them, go check out their website, columbusregion.com. That's columbusregion.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be right back into the episode.
I feel like culturally, this probably wouldn't have worked near as well, say, even 20 years ago.
Oh, absolutely not.
Because I remember being a kid and being like, yeah, I got Pop-Tarts and fruit roll-ups and nobody thought, what's all this sugar, right? There was no question. It was just how everybody did it. And there was like, people just didn't focus on health that much in the US. It was not like the cultural shift has been significant over the last 20 years towards more healthy lifestyles. I grew up in California. Obviously there's a big push there for that. And, you know, coming to Ohio, it wasn't like I took a step back, but I could definitely see like, okay, hey, yeah, this is a little less important in this area. But I think even that's changed since I got here in 2011. I've got a curious question and then I've got another question. But the curious question is MediZen, right? The name. Originally, when we first started the interview, I thought, well, yeah, medicine, Zen, good. But I feel like it's also got something to do with that Mediterranean lifestyle in it. Was that part of the name?
Yeah, the name definitely evolved from this concept of we want, you know, everyone knows what Zen means. Everyone mm-hmm. knows, I think everyone assumes that it means to be Zen, to be content, to be sort of calm. And we wanted to bring a sense of calm and contentedness to the medical space, but also taking that Mediterranean vibe into that. So it definitely has a lot of play, has a lot of play on words, a lot of connotations. And we felt like it was obviously advertising the concept of contentedness in your wellness, mm-hmm. whether that comes from the Mediterranean perspective or it comes from the medical perspective, that's basically where we felt that we should position ourselves.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And so the MediZen today, right? What are you guys doing when a patient comes in? Are they being referred to you, number one? And then when you do get a new patient, right? Is it mostly focused on that preventive care at this point, or are there other aspects to it?
And maybe before that point, just because this is going to come chronologically, is like the idea is great, but then to try to fit it into the, you know, major construct of American healthcare and
insurance,
figure out where the money's going to come from, yeah. And then change people's entire, like you have to educate an entire market on how to change the way that they approach their health is expensive and hard. And so, you know, that probably dovetails into Mike's question as well. I'd love to hear about how you guys were able to actually execute and then what it's turned into today.
These are great questions and literally the daily struggle of opening up a business that's a little bit different than what people I think expect, right? Chronologically speaking, what also was really conducive time-wise was I had started to become more and more distant from insurance companies in my medical practice along this timeline. So I was taking less and less insurance and taking more and more people who were coming seeking active care, wellness, and prevention. So that was part of it. That seemed a good time. And Maggie has also trained extensively in aesthetic procedures. She's traveled all over the world to get trained by the best experts in the world in terms of fillers, injections, Botox, sculpting, you name it. She's done very specific training in transgender care and transgender sculpting, facial feminization, masculinization procedures as well, because we both feel extremely committed to the community at large and making sure that our services are uniformly available and accessible to everybody. So I had already been making that transition to sort of the cash pay model, the wellness model, where people recognize that the insurance industry is really geared towards illness, not a wellness model. Mm-hmm. And the aesthetics business is already there. None of that stuff is covered with insurance because it's very much an on-demand care, unless you're going for, say, corrective procedures because you've had some sort of drastic physical impairment or derangement that's happened, like maybe an injury or an accident. So we set up from the very get-go to be basically a on-demand cash model where people seek our services because they want the best in aesthetics or they want the best in wellness and prevention, and they want that education because we educate primarily. All of our consultations are free because of the fact that we feel very confident in our skills. We feel very confident in what we have to offer. We have expertise, global expertise that we have to give, and we want to make sure that the client understands where we're coming from that model, and then also that they are sure that they're happy with that pursuit of that model. So patients come, they're not really referred. They sort of find us, whether it be, you know, through advertising or Google or word of mouth. I would say our word of mouth is actually probably our biggest seller, because if you are happy with the services you receive for something that everybody needs effectively, then you're going to tell your friends, and then they're going to tell their friends, and they're going to come. So we've never been within the insurance model in that regard. We never really advertised heavily. We haven't yet. And we offer comprehensive, you know, wellness assessments. If that means weight management to you, then that's what that means. If that means just making you feel better and optimizing your health and nutrition, that's mm-hmm. what that means for another person. And for you, maybe you feel pretty good, but you have some areas of your body that are keeping you from feeling 100% comfortable in your own skin. So the best way to describe it is we've tried to bring in clients, and our clientele is attracted to us for wanting to become more comfortable in their skin, more comfortable in the body that they were given, more comfortable with their projections to the world with their business or in their personal life, and then to make sure that their health and vitality is matching that moving forward.
That's a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a big, tall order. I feel like it would be overwhelming as a patient, right? The first time coming in being like, so do you start small? Is it like, hey, let's get basics down first. We'll kind of walk, crawl, walk, run type thing with your patients?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've kept the businesses separate to help people sort of navigate that road. So let's say somebody comes in and they're coming into MetaZen because they want aesthetic services or they want something simple. You know, maybe it's just simple. They've got, you know, some skincare issues that are bothering them. And we have the exclusive line on a really high-end premium skincare line out of France. It's all natural, super scientifically based, over 250 products in their product line that's customized to you. So they might, maybe you're coming in just for skincare. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got something that bothers you on your skin, a discoloration or a texture issue. But you're going to see the whole spectrum of services that we offer, and all of our staff, every last one of them is trained in all of our services to understand and educate. So you're going to be given a comprehensive discussion about, well, you know, some of your skin conditions, maybe they're also related to a hormone problem. It looks like maybe you've got a hormone disruption, or maybe you've got some nutritional issues that you might want to address, and that might help your skin even further from the inside mm-hmm. while we work on it from the outside. So then they might get sent over to endocrinology associates to balance that out. Let's say somebody comes to endocrinology associates for a thyroid condition, let's say, right? They come in for a thyroid condition and they're concerned about something, a feature on their body that they're not happy with, and they think it's related to their thyroid or the fact that their thyroid medication isn't working correctly. And then I have to go through and educate them about, well, there's a difference with biochemically, are you controlled? Are you not controlled? Is this the right medicine? Okay, let's have that conversation. But then maybe they would be better suited going to MetaZen to get their body issue adjusted or their body issue addressed. Maybe mm-hmm. they have a particular area that's a little resistant to exercise or a little resistant to coming down. And maybe they need some of our body sculpting services at MetaZen to help them feel perfectly complete and, you know, comfortable in their skin. So we've separated out the businesses that way in order to kind of encourage people to take bite-sized portions of what they might feel is best appropriate right now for what they need. Because a 25-year-old is going to have different needs than a 45-year-old and different than a 75-year-old.
Absolutely. Totally makes sense. To kind of transitioning now, talking a little bit about, because obviously you're still seeing patients, but as managing director, what does that look like? Obviously, to hear chatting with folks like us sometimes from time to time, but I'm curious what else you're doing from a day-to-day basis.
The managing partner is the least glorious, invisible person in the business, appropriately so. So the face of the business is my business partner, because she's obviously the one that's there day in and day out. As a managing partner, my responsibility is to ensure that the finances, the legal, the paperwork, all that's taken care of, and that I can support the staff and support my partner in executing what they want to execute, mm-hmm. and getting done what they need to get done and getting the message out, and obviously supporting them from a medical perspective, making sure that my nutritional obesity expertise is there and available for them, for the clients, and then for them as well. So it's a lot of paperwork and a lot of spreadsheets and a lot of phone calling, and mm-hmm. there's bankers and lawyers and, you know, insurance companies and from like other perspectives. It's not a glorious position.
Yeah. It sounds like a lot of work. And on top of all that, you're also involved with several clinical trials, right? And doing your own research. So we've talked about that before with some other doctors on the podcast, but I'm curious, like, what does it look like in your space? And are there any of these that you're working on that you can talk to? Because I know you can't always talk about what's going on.
I really love clinical research. It was the one thing that I missed when I left academia, was I missed the lack of clinical research. And I actually set out to do clinical research deliberately after a few years in practice, when I realized that that was either I do that or I have to go into academia. And that by that point, it was too late for me to go back to academia. So I do, well, multiple phases. So clinical trials come in different phases. There's early phase where you're just kind of investigating the doses. And then there's late phase when the drug is ready to be launched and released to the FDA. So I do all those phases. I probably have half of my research is in diabetes and obesity, mm-hmm. Nutrition. And then the other half is in what we call rare disease. So rare diseases like, say, Cushing's or acromegaly or lipodystrophies. Those are less than 50,000 people around the country. So not very big studies, mm-hmm. but the nutrition and obesity stuff. So what I can talk about is I actually have some pretty significant contracts with Abbott Nutrition. Mm-hmm. I think everybody knows Abbott Nutrition, and I do a lot of work with them on their nutritional formulas and their sensors and identifying best use case scenarios for that. It's about, I think, probably all I can say on that particular topic. But we're always looking for participants on that one, because those are young, healthy participants. We're trying to identify like best mm-hmm. use case scenarios for some of these new sensors, and also testing different nutritional formulas mm-hmm. and how they might affect your other metabolic parameters.
Interesting.
We always have diabetes studies as well. And those are really great for our patient populations, because you get free medication.
Right.
And, you know, in today's day and age, let's be fair, insurance companies and various entities around the country are not always the most favorable for patients to get the medications that they need. So I do find that continuing to do clinical trials is a commitment I want to offer my patients, so they can get medications sometimes at free or low cost. And my research division is now, I partnered with Remington Davis. They're over on Dublin Road. We partner with them in order to execute the trials, and because they've gotten out of hand in terms of size. They're just too big. Yeah. So I've partnered with them in order to execute now.
Yeah. I love the rare diseases piece, because, you know, very difficult to get people to research those, at least to fund those. I think there's plenty of people who would be willing to research them, but to fund those projects is not easy, because people don't always see a big payback ROI on that, which is unfortunate. So I'm curious, you know, what are the goals for the future with medicine? Do you see it growing? Do you see it moving from one clinic to many clinics? Like, do you want to scale it up? Or is it, hey, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We want to keep maintaining this and building our client base and really helping the people we can here.
Yeah. So Maggie and I are definitely dreamers. We definitely have some really big ideas. We opened up our flagship location in Dublin Bridge Park, across from the North Market, with the intention of building a complete wellness center. So we have all of our aesthetic services, injectables, laser, skincare, it's all there. We also intended to open up Keto Cafe, because I have won some awards for my nutritional videos and educational videos. And we have some great nutritional formulas based on like Mediterranean diets and applying them to modern sensibilities like in the US. So it is our goal to open up as a complete wellness center. And we'd like to incorporate other things in there, such as meditation, exercise, et cetera. But ultimately, yes, our goal is to expand into additional centers. I think our dream goal is to have a wellness retreat center, where we can literally take people for a couple of weeks at a time and take them in and teach them how to cook and how to eat healthy and how to exercise well and how to meditate well and how to look at their body physiology safely, and, you know, hormonal analysis and vitamin analysis, and give them a plan for the future and like how they should handle their body as the machine that it is. You know, we take our cars to the mechanics and we get checkups and we, you know, we oil, change the oil and we grease the conduits, but we don't do that with our bodies. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our goal. That's our dream goal. That's our stretch goal. If anybody wants to fund that, you know, we have this great vision of doing this where we would bring in all these people to you. So with the clientele would come in and we'd bring all these experts in and do this on a regular basis so that people can just kind of, again, check in and get checked up and continue to be as vitally healthy as they can be.
So I think that might be a good place to kind of head towards some of our last questions on the show, unless Jess, you got anything left in the tank?
Nothing else.
All right. Well, Dr. Christofides, it's been great talking to you so far. I think that's a good place to kind of head towards one of our last questions of the show or last two questions of the show. So the first one is, you have any advice for our listeners out there? Now, most of our listeners, right, they're interested in entrepreneurship, businesses, what's going on in Columbus. So kind of trying to give you an idea of who we're talking to.
Yeah. So I have several pieces of advice. The first of which is if you have an idea and you feel strongly about your idea, then you should absolutely invest your time and effort into doing it. You know, the best ideas are the ones that are felt from the heart, that are felt from the gut, that you are committed to and that you have the ability to execute on. That's my first recommendation. And the second recommendation piece of advice is make sure that you surround yourself with people who can help you execute that goal. And it's really hard to ask for that help. It's really hard to ask for that piece of advice. But so my third piece of advice is never be afraid to talk about what mm-hmm. your passions are. I have met more amazing people and more supportive people and made more connections than I could have ever imagined just by sharing my passions when mm-hmm. I'm at meetings or at a conference or just a casual conversation, because you just never know who you is listening and who might also have that passion project or who might know someone who is interested in that passion project. So I talk a lot. People know that about me and I'm never shy to share that. So I think my first piece of advice is if you have a dream, then you're obligated to go for it. And you're obligated to at least explore that. Second one is surround yourself with people that can help you. But the way you're going to find those people is never, ever, ever be afraid to talk about your passion. Mm-hmm. I would much rather talk about passion than weather or reality TV. Those are my two.
Good advice. And I agree. So our last question of the show is centered around the theme here on Conquering Columbus, which is live uncomfortably. So without telling you too much about why we chose that for a show focused on entrepreneurs and business leaders throughout Columbus, what do you think when you hear it? How does it apply to your life and career?
I actually really love that question. And I really enjoyed thinking about that question when I saw it. And to me, living uncomfortably is basically what we're doing right now. It's not being settled in what you're doing. It's not autopilot. Mm-hmm. So living uncomfortably for me is not being on autopilot. It's about pushing yourself and pushing your boundaries. And, you know, my husband and I talk about this all the time in relationship to this new business with MetaZen and how we're going to grow this and move it forward. It's, you know, it's an idea. It's a passion project. It's a thing that I would have never 10 years ago thought was on my radar or would have even conceived of being on my radar. And it's not exactly my comfort zone. And that was absolutely the best decision I made was to go for this project because it's teaching me so much more about myself and about what I like and what I don't like or what I'm good at or what I'm not good at. But it's also teaching me new skills. So living uncomfortably to me is forcing yourself to learn new skills because that it only expands your talent, your mind, your ability, and your future person. But it's also about not being complacent that you think you know what you know or that you are good. You're only as good as the next great thing you say or do. And so I love being outside my comfort zone. I love learning new things. I love being wrong. A lot of people might disagree who listen to this and hear me and they think they know me. They think I don't like being wrong. I actually love being wrong. I love learning something new. I love thinking I know something and then being proven wrong. Don't do it too often because then I might get a little upset. So living uncomfortably is definitely expanding your horizons and not defining yourself by how you live. So I guess that's kind of the point I was just making, right? Like people think they can define, they think they know me and they think that they can define me. And they think that that's what my script is. Mm-hmm. Living uncomfortably to me is not being defined by the script that you've either set for yourself or other people have set for you.
Yeah, I like that a lot. You know, we like to put people in boxes, but don't let yourself live in your box, right? Well, Elena, it's been great chatting with you. Appreciate you coming on and talking about your story and MetaZen.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it.
and Conquerors, thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed that episode, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you are listening on. It'll make sure you never miss an interview from us. And if you want to learn more about MetaZen, you can go to
www.metazeninstitute.com.
You heard her. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.